Now, I want to continue our study on the New Testament church. Now, I have pointed out already that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is exclusively New Testament because it has never existed in any other age of the world but the New Testament age, which began on that first memorable Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord to heaven. Now today, I want to talk about the worship of the New Testament church. The worship of the New Testament church. Now the worship of the New Testament church, like the church itself, is exclusively New Testament because it was not engaged then in any other age of the world but the New Testament age. Now, in the first chapter of John in verse 17, said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Romans 6:14 said we are not under the law, but under grace. And so the worship in which we engage today never was engaged in any other age in the history of the world. And therefore, it is exclusively New Testament worship. Now, there are five avenues of New Testament worship which we have upon the Lord's Day, or the first day of the week, which you commonly call Sunday. Now then, don't misunderstand me. You can worship God any day in the week and at any time, but there is a special worship in which we engage in upon the first day of the week. And that's the worship that I want to talk about today. And there are five avenues in this particular worship. And first is the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel was preached in promise and in preparation and in prophecy, but it was never before preached in fact and in the name of the risen Christ until that first Pentecost day after the resurrection and ascension of our Lord, when the New Testament age began. And so we preach the gospel of Christ and teach his word in worship. And then we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never before the New Testament age did people pray and in the name of Christ. Jesus said to his disciples on the night before he went to Calvary, in the 16th chapter of John in verse 23, he said, in that day ye shall ask the Father, you have asked me nothing, but in that day ye shall ask the Father in my name, and he will give it you. Said, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Asking you it shall receive, that your joy may be full. And so, never before had people been able to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ until the beginning of the New Testament age. And so, we pray in the name of Christ. And then we give as the Lord has prospered us. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by himself in store as God has prospered him. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, every man according as his purpose in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And then we commune the body and blood of our Lord upon the first day of the week. In the 20th chapter of Acts, and verse 7 said, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now, I want you to note, my friends, first of all, we are commanded to eat the body and drink of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, commencing at verse 19, Jesus took bread and blessed it and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood shed for you. So there's a command to eat. Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then we are commanded to assemble. In Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we are commanded to eat. We are commanded to assemble. Now, when do we assemble to eat the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and drink of his blood? This is taught by an approved example in the 20th chapter of Acts and the 7th verse. Said, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Now, no, we are commanded to eat, we are commanded to assemble. Here it says, upon the first day of the week, when they came together, that obeyed the command to assemble. And it said to break bread, that obeyed the command to eat. When did it say? Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. In Acts 11:26, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So Christians come together upon the first day of the week to break bread, or commune the body and blood of our Lord. That's what breaking of bread is. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, said the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So we come together upon the first day of the week to commune the body and blood of our Lord. Now, there are those who take what they call the Lord's Supper once a month, and some every 3 months, and some every 6 months, and some once a year. Now, my friends, there is not a line of Scripture teaching that observing the Lord's Supper is a monthly or quarterly or semi-annual or annual affair. It is a weekly affair upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, in order to get around the force of this passage, there are those who say, well, the Bible says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Well, the Bible does say that. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 11:26. That as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. But now, how often is often? Now, that's where some get mixed up, is how often is often. Now, do you say once a month is often enough? Well, how do you know, since you decide upon that, how do you know that that's often enough in the sight of God? And those who do it quarterly, how often in your sight, but how do you know God accepts that? And those who do it annually and semi-annually, that's how often they think, but what does God think about it? Now, how often is often in the sight of God? Now, I heard a man say just last Lord's Day on the radio, he quoted this passage and said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes, and said he didn't set any time, just said it often. Well, the time is set, Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. And every week has a first day. Now, there are those, in order to get around this, the force of this passage, said that this was a special service just held for the Apostle Paul since he was passing through. That's not so. In verse 6, we find that Paul and his company came to Troas and tarried 7 days. They waited there 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Why, they waited down there 7 days until the first day of the week when Christians came together to commune the body and blood of our Lord. And so, they could, if it was just a special service for Paul, why, they could have had it either one of those 7 days that he was waiting there. Now, my friends, every week has a fresh day. And this is not a thing that they had just when Paul was passing through breaking bread. It is something that Christians continued in. And Acts 2:42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayer. They continued in that. When? Upon the first day of the week. And then there are others, to get around the force of this passage, who say, well, he didn't say every first day of the week. He didn't have to say every first day of the week. Why, every sensible, normal person know that every week has a first day. When he commanded Israel to keep the Sabbath day holy and told them that the seventh day was the Sabbath, he told them when the Sabbath would be and then told them to keep it holy. He didn't say, keep every Sabbath day holy. They knew that every week had 7 days and that was the Sabbath, and so they observed it every 7 days. Well, we know that every week has a first day, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Acts 20:7. And now, my friend, there is one more item of worship that I must mention very briefly, and that is singing. Now, we sing in New Testament worship, not sing and play. We do not use mechanical instruments of music in the New Testament worship of our Lord. We are commanded to sing. In Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Not making melody upon a mechanical instrument of music, but in your heart. And then the gospel is the truth by which we serve God. Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trust after you had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And then in the fourth chapter of John in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And in Romans 1:9, Paul said, with my spirit I serve God in the gospel of his son. So we must do only what is recorded in the gospel, and we are commanded in the gospel to sing. Well, somebody said that didn't serve a church. Well, in the second chapter of Hebrews, verses 11 and 12, both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. Therefore, he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, "And I will declare unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." So then we sing praise unto the Lord in the church, not sing and play. Now then, my friends, my time is gone, but if you're not a member of the body of Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin, confess Christ, be buried with him in baptism for remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to the church, and you can worship him in spirit and in truth as the Bible commands. God bless you for listening, and thank you, everyone.